fun part. I like this. It's a Wendy show. And Wendy, we spell it differently so you can tell the difference. Maybe not listening, but Wendy Garrett. Yeah, that's me. And then my guest, Wendy Coulter. And she spells it W-E-N-D-I-E. And you can check out her blog site, website, The Practical Path. She's a clairvoyant, medical intuitive, master healer, certified. She's also the founder of The Practical Path, which teaches, and this is a really fun part, metaphysics and personal development for people who are actually in the field, maybe a doctor, maybe a nurse, maybe somebody else who's practicing medicine in some way, shape, or form, and helping them integrate the intuitive abilities they already have into their own work and process. So you might want to stick around and learn a few things about your own healing abilities and how it might be more convenient when you are plugged in intuitively to all these other elements that are part of our natural ability. It's just that sometimes we need to refine them. And if that's, you know, something that you're interested in, then this is it. All right. Hello, Wendy. Thank you.
Hi, Wendy. So nice to be here. Thank you so much.
It's so fun. It's like the Wendy stereo. I went to Sedona, Arizona. There are a lot of Wendy's there. So it's just that, you know, that, oh my, that's the, like the Wendy capital of the world.
And you know, there here in Los Angeles, I haven't met that many Wendy's. So it's always a thrill for me to meet another Wendy.
It's fun. Yeah. Yeah. Our moms were in sync.
Yeah.
Okay. I wanted to get into the, now you teach this, but I wanted to get into your background. How did this start for you?
Well, how did the teaching part start or the actual intuitive part start? That's usually what people ask me. Is, how
yeah,
did you know you were intuitive? Yeah. You know, I didn't really know I was until much later in life. I developed intuition very naturally, and then I studied it later in life when I was older. But as a child, I had when I look back and ask myself, well, how did I know I was intuitive? There's this really interesting incident that happened when I was about 6 years old. I was what is called clairaudient, meaning I could hear without using the use of my physical ears. I can hear, but I was also hearing things. And what I was hearing was music. And I remember singing a song, you know, humming a song to myself and asking my mother to turn the radio on, because there was a song that was playing that I really liked, and she turned it on, and of course, it was right where I was singing it in my head. It was a popular song of the day, and I thought everybody could do this. I just thought this is what people did, and as I grew up, I realized that my girlfriends thought that was kind of spooky, and they couldn't do it, and so when I realized that, I realized, oh, there must be something a little different that I do. You know, here's an interesting story for you. I didn't find out until much later in life that some of the people in my family were, and my extended family, were quite psychic. My sister and I used to play those ESP card games. Remember those?
Yeah.
From way back when in the mid-70s? Well, it turns out, and this is new information, my mother just reminded me of this, that one of our family friends, a woman I called an aunt, you know, she was so close to our family, was a woman named Hella Hammett, who was the psychic that worked with ESP researcher Russell Targ. Some of your listeners might know who that is. He was one of the original ESP researchers. He worked with the CIA and the military with remote viewing, and the psychic that he used was this wonderful woman who I grew up with.
Yeah.
But in my family, it wasn't talked about. We never talked about intuition, but it also was never discouraged. So, you know, I kind of sort of naturally developed these awarenesses without really knowing what I was doing until much later when I studied in a formal way. So there's the long answer to your short question.
Oh, that's great. Well, you might find this interesting. There's a woman who founded the Electronic Voice Phenomenon, the organization that studies that, American Association for Electronic Voice. And I was reading about her just the weekend. What was interesting was, and I've had this experience before too, she thought she had connected to somebody, a famous composer, and she's playing the tape. And of course, when you do this, you don't hear anything with your ears. You don't hear anything. And she didn't hear anything intuitively, but she had prompted and said, please play some of your music for me. Well, when you review the tape is her saying, you hear her voice and hear her talking. And then you also hear the lovely music in the background that she couldn't hear at the time she was doing the tape. So it would be similar to what you're hearing that other people don't hear on that wavelength. And I've had the same thing when I was talking and thinking I didn't get anything on tape. When I replayed the tape, there was something there. So these kinds of things are so fascinating, I think.
They really are. It's, you know, intuitive ability is still unexplained.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's really quite prevalent in life.
Well, that's what you tap into when you're teaching your classes and you're working with people who are, you know, very linear in a lot of ways because they have to stick with a rigid schedule. They have to follow routines, procedures, rules. They're trying to help them tap into their abilities. How does that work?
Well, yeah. And the thing that is really so wonderful about intuition is that everyone has it. We're all born with it. It's a very hardwired, natural human trait. And there's all kinds of intuition. There's the hearing kind we talked about. There's the feeling kind, clairsentience, where people feel emotions, other people's emotions or physical sensations in their own bodies. That's very, very common, especially for healers. And there's a few others. One thing that everybody seems to recognize is something called claircognizance. That's clear knowing, meaning just about everyone has had the experience of thinking about someone they love or a friend or someone they know and then having that person contact them in a very short window of time, like the next day or within 24 hours or even quicker. And that seems to be a pretty much across-the-board experience for people. Mm-hmm. And that's claircognizance. That's actually an intuitive human trait.
When you're working in this way, do you do anything to prepare? How do you, shut out the noise and tune in?
Well, I have a meditation technique that I teach in my program and that I practice every day. It's a daily, I call it energy hygiene. It's really a cleaning out of my own energy and getting myself in a place of what I call neutrality, meaning I am not going to be affected by someone else's energy. And that's a really important skill to learn for anyone who is intuitive or wants to work with intuition. It's not taught that well out there in the world, in my opinion.
Yeah.
But I make sure that people learn this, and it's a very important skill to prepare yourself to receive information clairvoyantly. And the skill that I teach is the visual skill, clear seeing, clairvoyant, that French word meaning to see clearly. And that is the skill that I teach for medical intuition because we want to be able to view the body. We want to see the body systems. We want to see what happened in their lives to create an imbalance that may be causing a physical issue or an emotional issue or things like that.
Well, the advantage is these are people who have had training and classes and can identify body parts, okay? So they know if they're working on that helps.
No, not all of them. I work with a lot of people, like psychologists don't have an understanding necessarily of the physical body,
mm-hmm.
And they do take the program. So it's nice when people have anatomy training, but it's not required in that I spend about a weekend and a half of the program mm-hmm. in level one working with anatomy. So if you don't have a background in anatomy, you will learn basics and how I view the, and I didn't come from a medical background, so I didn't have a big long training in it. What I do is I look at the body systems as if they are maps so that I can see, say for example, the endocrine system. I have to know what the thyroid does. That's really important for me to know if it's functioning properly. I can visually see that. But
mm-hmm.
I don't have to have 6 years of anatomy or even four or even two as a doctor would learn it. That's not necessary. If you have it, it's a bonus. But if you don't, it's not critical.
I guess there's another question I have, and this is related to the weather right now, because I have noticed recently in my recent history that I have much more sensitivity to weather. We had a huge storm roll through the other night, and I didn't at that time I didn't think about how the headache was part of it. This morning, and as we're speaking now, I had the headache 2 hours ago, and the storm that's coming through is pretty intense. I'm like, oh my gosh, it's another one of those darn headaches. And,
yeah.
So those kinds of things, how do you deal with that? Because you know, you're talking about blocking energies or clearing energies, and those are other elements that do affect us too.
Oh, certainly they do. Animals are extremely sensitive before an earthquake. You might see your pets, hide under the couch mm-hmm. or something like that. You know, cats in particular seem to be quite sensitive yeah. to earth, you know, pre-earthquakes. And weather patterns as well, and humans do too. I'm sorry, your question was how do we deal with that?
Yeah, have you addressed that? Is there something that you've discovered in terms of that those other sensitivities too?
Well, it's such a good question, Wendy. Honestly, I've never really looked at, no one's come to me with that question, but I would say that this is another example of how many antenna, you know, yeah. invisible antenna, you know, to use a funny visual, that we have. We are very sensitized to our planet. And as our planet shifts and changes with pollution and global warming and things like that, you know, our bodies will react. And that's what we're seeing. So, you know, I would say if you're sensitive to it, it would really be a worth looking at for yourself. Going into meditation and asking your guidance, if there's anything you can do to mitigate the discomfort of this, because it changes, you know, as the barometer changes, our internal barometers change as well. So it's a good idea. You could talk to a medical intuitive about it too. Is there anything that can mitigate the discomfort for you so you don't have to sort of be...
Part of it was I was talking to you. I figured there's my backup because there's a perfect person to talk to for this. The other thing,
yeah.
the other way I want to also bring that in is when people go into places, whether it's a house, whether it's a building, whether it's a landscape, and you write about this on your blog, you know, the need to get out in nature and restore. But those are other sensitivities that I think that working with your program will bring forward as they start to become more intuitive. Then these are other elements that also come into play. Does that make sense?
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, everybody has this has had an experience of walking into a building or a location and just getting a weird feeling, right? Everybody mm-hmm. sort of knows that, you know, when you walk into a space and there's sort of uncomfortable energy in it, even if you're a total skeptic, you might feel something. So we're talking about sensitizing oneself to the intuitive states, the intuitive senses. And definitely once you start, listen, people who start working with energy start becoming energy healers, as I did. I started out as an energy healer, and I noticed that my intuitive senses of every kind were just ramping up, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that's not a bad thing. You have to know how to and learn how to modify this for yourself. Otherwise, you just become this sort of live wire, and you don't want to be that. That's way too that's like a lot of overload. So you want to learn how to modify and balance those sensitivities. And how you do that is by learning how to ground, how to protect your energy, how to release energy. All of that is on my website in the Energy Essentials series. And these are a series of audios and guided meditations people can listen to. And there's some basic techniques in there. Now, in the program, for people who want to become medical intuitives, I have advanced techniques, but these techniques on the website are great for anyone to try, and I've had great feedback from people in the public just saying, you know, these really work for me. So give those a try.
Well, the other thing, too, the grounding energy, especially in times like these, because there's a whole lot of stuff, and people are impacted by, like, the daily news, everything. Every single day, something shifts and changes, and there's a new issue, a new drama. And so right now, instead of getting caught up and just totally reactionary, there is a very important element to this grounding that says, okay, these things are happening, but it doesn't need to knock me off my foundation.
You're so right, Wendy. Thank you for bringing that up. This is it's an accelerated time, and there's so much energy of every kind bouncing around. If we're not grounded and if our energy is not protected, us sensitive people, those of us who recognize ourselves as sensitive in these ways, we're really going to feel knocked around. So absolutely, grounding, protection, releasing energy so that you can stay emotionally balanced, connecting with your guidance, all of this is on the website, and there are many, many other places out there you can learn this, but we really must keep ourselves grounded.
Well, and I wanted to talk to you originally when I was booking and saying, okay, what else are you doing? You were in the middle of writing a book. So is that still, Is it closer?
It's closer. You know, I do so much teaching and talking and traveling that, you know, carving out time to write a book, this is a big excuse on my part. It's really,
I know.
People have been asking me for a book for a long time, and I do write articles, and my blogs are up. I write a blog every month that you can subscribe to. And these blogs, and these articles, and my life story are all going into this book, including tips and tricks for people to balance their own energies and learn about medical intuition. And, you know, I've had a really interesting experience of life learning this stuff. The thing I like to tell people is that my experience can be yours. In other words, I wasn't given any special advantages. I mean, you know, having Hella Hammett and some of these wonderful people in my life was an advantage only in that it wasn't discouraged in my family, and that is definitely an advantage. A lot of people have a life experience where they were told they were lying or, you know, disbelieved, and they really had to keep that under wraps. Luckily, I didn't have to so much, but that's, you know, you can definitely overcome, you know, issues where you feel like you've been told not to do this. I've had plenty of students who've had that, and they learn just fine. So, in other words, I didn't have a near-death experience. I wasn't visited by an angel. None of those kind of extraordinary things happened to me. I just learned it step by step on my own and practiced.
Well, the extraordinary thing is that ability you pointed out when you were six, it was just there. And you had something that was already working for you without the extra kick, you know, that little thing of, okay, here's a light over here, whatever. You already had this innate knowing that was plugged in. So in that way, that's, you know, that's your jump start. That's the fail safe. That's the background that says, yes, it's already here. It's just a matter of whether you want to tune into it or not. And that's where you kept being guided, in my opinion, working with the elements you did in the bookstore and being around the people. You know, you had some tremendous resources and, you know, mentors. That's and you might speak to some of those, because I'm just saying it, assuming people know, and they don't. So, yeah.
Well, that is true. I mean, luckily, I grew up in California where, you know, this kind of thing isn't so, you know, in California, when I was growing up in the 70s, 80s, and into the 90s, you know, you could find all kinds of things. It was almost too much, you know, out here in California. But what's nice about it is you could pick and choose. And the thing is that there are bookstores everywhere, and now we have Amazon online, and people can find resource material. That is a fact. Certainly more easily now than when I was growing up even. But I was just interested in it. And so it was always something I was moving towards in one way or another. Later in life, I started studying formally. I studied Reiki. Found my intuition really growing there. And then I studied at a school of metaphysics in Los Angeles that was quite well-known. It was quite prominent in L.A. And
okay.
They had.
James, yeah. Mindy, you're being too, drop the names. It's okay.
Oh.
You're among
well,
friends.
They're not there anymore. They're not there anymore. But there are schools around that you can find that teach clairvoyance and things like that. Just, you know, look at their curriculum, get a sense of their teachers, and, you know, I always recommend everybody trust their gut when it comes to this stuff. But I took their clairvoyance program, and I took their energy medicine program, and then I became a teacher. I took their teacher's training and was ordained through them as a minister. So I did a lot of study there and became a teacher there on staff for 6 years. So I taught people how to activate and learn and develop their own intuitive senses. And sometime after that, you know, after the school sort of went on hiatus, I decided that it was really time for me to look at what I could do. And I was teaching my own programs by then as well, you know, outside of that. And I noticed that energy healers and in the medical field and even in the alternative and complementary medical field, there was this lack of knowledge about intuition. It just wasn't there. And, of course, I had read Caroline Mace's book and Edgar Cayce, and they were phenomenal clairvoyants, by the way, and never had any medical training at all, like myself. But they were using these skills, and I looked around and I said, this is a real missing piece. There needs to be something for energy healers and healers of every kind to be able to look inside the body. And that was something that I was just seeing on my own from a very early age. I used to be able, in my 20s, to be able to look at people and just look at them and say, something is off with you. There's something going on. And I couldn't tell you what it was, but I could sort of discern in their energetic frequency somehow that there was something off in their physical body. I'd find out later that, yeah, they were diagnosed with something, or they went into the hospital or something happened. And I'd go, huh, you know? And when I started energy work, I started noticing that I was actually seeing body parts, just seeing them without even having the training in it. And that sort of spurred me on to do more study. And so I took all that and developed my own programs in medical intuition. And that's sort of the trajectory. I kind of jumped around there. But that's how I came to where I am now. And the programs have been going for about 5 or 6 years. And I'm teaching Western medical doctors, which is so phenomenal, because these are the people, along with the acupuncturists and the nurses and the chiropractors and all these wonderful people, who are really going to change medicine for us, right?
Yeah. Yes, yeah. Absolutely. And yeah. Well, part of that, too, though, is that as you developed your classes, you were also learning to be a teacher. And that, I think, is really powerful, because a lot of people have this knowing, but they don't have the ability to teach it as effectively or as fluently. It's just something, well, I can do this, but I'm not a teacher. And so those are skills that you just went ahead and developed in addition to having that natural intuitive awareness that you could incorporate in a very productive and effective path. So anybody who goes onto your website, it's so easy to navigate this. Plus, you're bringing a personal aspect by improving and bringing in some kind of whether it's a tutorial in how to ground yourself or how to protect your energy, you're adding that to it. So it's like you're getting something when you go to the website automatically. If you want to go further, then that's there as well. But it's just very helpful to have this information so easily accessible and so well mapped out, in my opinion.
Thank you so much. I appreciate that feedback. And anyone who's gone to the website, any feedback is really most welcome. It's funny, we didn't talk about my other background, which is in music.
Yes.
But I was teaching.
Yeah, that's no surprise.
Yeah. Well, not surprisingly, given that I was so clairaudient with music, I really gravitated toward music. And, I found myself in my younger years teaching guitar, to students as a way to make money. And so teaching really became it came naturally to me. But it is something that not everyone can do or even should do. A good teacher will stick with you for a very long time. And, someone who really isn't a good teacher, you don't really learn as much. It doesn't sink in the way it should. So I was very lucky to have wonderful teachers, and I really, really love teaching. Thank you for bringing that up.
Well, and the other thing, too, though, we are going to talk a little bit about your music, okay? Mm. Because that's important. And last time you were... I don't talk about my music. Well, I thought, good deal. I know what to talk about next time, because that's another, it's a skill, it's a talent, it's an asset, and you bring that to the equation too. So in the meantime, though, you're listening, and this is Wendy Coulter, The Practical Path. We didn't mention the website, thepracticalpath.com. That's where you can find the programs and the information. And eventually, when she makes time and carves out a space, a book, that's the in progress right now is the fine tuning and narrowing the focus to get, okay, let's do the book. Okay. Just an hour a day is all right. Just an hour a day. You'll get it. It's just not fair. It's not fair. There's so many things that can distract you. So anyway, Wendy Coulter, and it's WENDIE. All right. And I'm WENDY, just so you know the difference between the two. And we're still Wendy's. It has the same frequency. If there were one thing from your music that you bring to this, what would that be?
Oh, my gosh. What a great question. I think creativity, to be totally honest. Making music and creating music is pure right brain creativity. You just let it flow. And learning intuition and developing intuition is very much the same skill. You have to learn the notes. So that's your left brain. That's your analytical mind. But once you learn the basics of it, you have to jump into your right brain, so to speak. I'm not being literal here. But you've got to let the creativity flow. And it's really the same with learning intuition. I have to coach people, and I do this part of the teaching process, through the steps of learning the skill set. You know, you do A, B, C, and D in order to get this skill. And then you let it flow. And you allow your left brain, you know, that analytical mind to just calm down a little bit so that you can receive information. So it is very much the same process.
Okay, we're going to take a quick break. The guitar lessons. Okay, I'm going to come back. Do you have a guitar handy?
Oh, gosh, no.
Darn. Okay, that's all right. Yeah. Okay, we're going to come back. We're going to ask just a little bit more about the music. All right, you're listening to Wendy Coulter and The Practical Path. We're going to come back and quiz her a little bit more about the music before we get back into the intuitive stuff. Stick around. Conscious Living on Empower Radio.
Hi, I'm Linda Ellerbe. Did you know that every 3 minutes, another woman gets the news she has breast cancer? I got it 11 years ago, and I know how scary it can be. Everything your doctor says sounds like a foreign language. HER2-NU, oncogene, aromatase inhibitor, ductal carcinoma in situ. What do these words mean? How are you going to decide what to do if you can't even say what you have? Please listen. As soon as you get your diagnosis, go to breastcancer.org. It's a special place on the internet where you can learn how to say all those breast cancer words and find out what they mean. At breastcancer.org, you can learn more about your particular kind of cancer and your treatment options, and get all kinds of other useful information to guide you and your family through this. The first place to go the minute you find you have breast cancer. Breastcancer.org.
This is you over 30 years ago.
Are we there yet? Are we there yet?
And this is your mom when you drive her back from therapy.
Are we there yet? Are we there yet? Are we there yet?
Roles change without us noticing, and in your new role, we help you help. AARP gives you the information to help care for your mom so that you can have patience with her just like she did with you. Visit aarp.org/caregiving or call 1-877-333-5885 to get practical health and wellness tips to provide even better care for your loved one.
Are we there yet?
Remember, visit aarp.org/caregiving. AARP, we help you help. A public service announcement brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
I wasn't prepared to be a caregiver to mom. I had no idea how hard it would be and what I would need to know. Things I never thought of, like how to improve her mood and ways for me to stay positive. Luckily, I found the Caregiving Resource Center from AARP. It had articles about the basics, but also information about the hurdles I was facing. Caregiving Resource Center at aarp.org/caregiving. Articles, tips, and tools to help you both care for your loved one and care for yourself. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
You're so annoying.
Stop copying me.
Mom, tell her to stop copying me.
Mom, tell her to stop talking to me.
Kids will spend 10 minutes copying everything their sibling says.
You're such a doofus.
How about 2 minutes to brush their teeth? Brushing for 2 minutes now can save your child from severe tooth pain later. For fun 2-minute videos to watch while brushing, visit 2min2x.org. 2 minutes, twice a day. I have the time.
Mom!
A message from the Partnership for Healthy Mouths, Healthy Lives, and the Ad Council.
Power Radio, this is Conscious Living. Hi there, I'm Wendy Garrett. My guest today is Wendy Coulter. And she is the creator of The Practical Path. A lot of opportunities to learn about your own intuition and your own abilities and specializing as a medical intuitive. That's what she's doing to try and help doctors, nurses, and therapists all across the board. Just bring in that innate wisdom to the equation and help them expand their own abilities. I said the music, and the thing is, I had seen some of the, when I was, you know, Googling, researching, I saw some of your music, and you had such wonderful compliments on your work and your voice and all of that. And so, you know, when you hear that in your voice, when you're listening, the tone and the quality. And so it's obvious that in some way, shape or form, that's a talent. Do you miss that? Or are you still into that too?
You know, my life took two tracks. I was always a musician. I knew by the time I was 9 years old that I was going to be a musician. And I come from a family of musicians as well. So that was always something I wanted to do. And I pursued that. And I had a pretty good run in the 90s with my band.
Yeah.
It was really fun. We had a great time. We toured, made records and things like that. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it wasn't a sustainable career because of the way the industry went. But music, what I did at one point is I transitioned into composing, and I composed for television and film. And there's a lot of information about that part of my career online. And I followed the two tracks of energy work and, you know, things of an intuitive nature and the music almost like parallel tracks. And I love them both. I still do compose in my very, very rare spare time now. I still have, keep my, you know, my energy there, and I love it. I identify as a musician, as well as a healer and a medical intuitive and a teacher. So, you know, it's kind of funny. I think people are more than one thing. people like to pigeonhole you, well, you're a this or you're a that. But the truth is we're a lot of things. And as we talked about earlier, you know, the act and the process of being creative, you know, being a musician or an artist or whatever, and doing intuition is not that different. You still learn the skill set, you learn the ABCs or the 1-2-3s of what you're doing, and then you need to be creative with it. So you have to sort of almost forget that. So in music, what we do is we learn our scales and all the notes and all the chords and all the technical stuff, and then we try to forget it all so we can actually create. That's very similar.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. And see, I wanted to bring that out because part of it is music is a unifying source. It does all the work with none of the process. You break down barriers just by playing a tune. All of a sudden, the body's receptive, the person's receptive. The moment has changed because there's been a common note, an element that people don't block. That's why commercials are so effective. If they have music, the music delivers it, and then the, you know, the overlay of the voice or whatever it is, and it's hard to block it because the music is the carrier. And so part of that I see as an intuitive, as a healer, you have that in you. And then you also have this wonderful ability to tap into people's their own gifts and say, this is how you marry this together with what you have learned and what you already know, and then teaching, as you started learning with the guitar and, you know, helping people learn those lessons, you're doing a lot more on so many different levels that you don't, you take for granted.
Well, thank you for that acknowledgement. I appreciate it. You know, everybody has gifts. We all do. And the question is whether or not, you know, we have permission. We're giving ourselves permission, or there's permission from our families or the culture that we're in to develop those gifts. And, you know, in many ways, I wouldn't call myself lucky, but I was raised in a family where those kinds of gifts were encouraged. You know, I was encouraged to play music. My mother was a musician and an artist, and my father, you know, really loved that. And so all of us, you know, in our family were, but that was really around me as well. It wasn't just our family. There was an atmosphere of creativity. But here's the thing. Even if you don't get raised in that kind of environment, even if there's a very different environment, people are drawn to what they're drawn to because we all come with a purpose. You know, we all come into this life with a reason, a set of reasons or purposes for being here. And even if we don't feel like we're fulfilling that, there's always an opportunity to develop in our own lives what it is we want, even in a small way. So, you know, I always encourage people to do that. And people do come through the program, you know, where they start to tap into that, you know, to use a phrase, the right brain, the creative brain, that side of things, because that's how you do intuition, is you allow for that to happen. And they run up against their own barriers to it. In other words, what beliefs they were either given, belief systems they were given, like, you know, you can't be an artist, you can't be this, you can't be that. And that's really common because parents want their children to succeed in life, and being an artist isn't exactly the best way to succeed in life. It's very risky. So, you know, that people do come up against that, and that's a good thing to come up against, because then you can really look at it and make some own decisions of your own about what you want to do with your gifts and talents. And I have to tell you, and I know I'm going on a little bit about this, because people feel like, oh, I can't do that. There's no way I could do that. And I tell everybody, of course you can. Of course you can. We're all born with these gifts. We're born with a myriad of gifts. And whether or not they were encouraged when we were a child doesn't really matter, because we can encourage that when we're an adult. We can learn. We can develop. None of this is when you start to learn these things, and people will tell you, Wendy, when they start to learn something like Reiki or energy work, all of a sudden it's like a door opening, and their intuition starts to, you know, build up and start to express itself. And when people take a drawing class or learn how to play an instrument, all of a sudden their creativity starts coming to the fore. Same thing, right? It's development.
Yes. Yeah. Well, I also wanted to get into you also on your page, on your website, Healing with Crystals and Gemstones. And do you specialize in any of those? Do you prefer gemstones over crystals, or is it all one nice library?
Styles of rocks. And as I got older, you know, I realized that crystal healing was a thing.
Yeah.
And so I kind of developed that and really, really loved it. It's just one of my favorite hobbies is looking at crystals and gemstones. And I like rocks, you know, like a lapis lazuli or a bloodstone or you name it, any kind of stone like that, just as much as I like quartz crystals, which are the most beautiful, really. But they all have gorgeous beauty to me, and I just get a kick out of them. So,
well, so do you use certain stones to enhance certain abilities?
Yeah, sure. If you want to have really, if you want to enhance your sixth chakra, which is your intuitive center, I would say any quartz crystal is good for that. So anything that has a clear quartz quality, clear quartz crystal, amethyst crystal, rose quartz crystal, you can look in, actually there's a lot of information online now for quartz crystals. Try that, you know, just hold them or put them in your pocket or put them under your pillow. And every stone or crystal has its own set of qualities. They're very subtle medicine. I call them subtle medicine. But some stones people feel very powerfully. And you just have to go to a rock shop or a crystal shop and pick things up and feel them and see if there's any information for you there. It all comes through your hands, and that would be clairsentience. So you want to feel what these beautiful rocks and stones and crystals have to tell you.
Well, and part of this is that when you do realize you have that ability, then you will notice a big difference between a crystal versus a bloodstone or something else, that, you know, amethyst, or there are stones that you feel them differently. There's a joy that goes along with amber that's just like a perky little uplifting bubble. And for me, that's what amber represents, is that little bubble.
Yes. Amber's fantastic, and it also really is good for the third chakra. It's a great third chakra stone, which is about self-esteem and self-worth. So if you have that, you want to enhance that for yourself, go get some amber and see how that feels.
The other thing I wanted to get into as well, just because you're dealing with this on many different levels, there are some times when you're trying to work with your abilities, when you're going into a space that is much more linear and much more, everything's by the book, everything's straight and narrow. When I work in a retail environment, I can always tell somebody who's extremely, very controlled and incredibly rigid, because they will stop the register. The register will lock up. And
wow.
I'm like, oh, okay, one of those, gotcha. And it's really funny, because they don't know that, and there's nothing that they are doing, but it is their energy, and the energy will shut down the mechanism. And it's just hilarious, because it's when I first realized that was what was happening, I was like, oh, well, I need to fix this. And I went, no, I have to wait till they back up or they get distracted. But that was the first thing that would happen, was that I noticed that certain people have these heavier energies, and then the register was like, uh-oh.
Yeah, that's so funny. You know, there's always a reason for people's energy and their energetic makeup. There's always life experience that leads people to these energetic shifts, you know, however they manifest. And one of the most amazing things about medical intuition is not just looking at the body, you know, clairvoyantly and to see what's going on there, but also to look at the life experiences that people have had that have led to their current circumstances, whether or not they're stopping registers or they've developed a physical imbalance or something like that. And that, to me, is some of the most amazing experiences I've had as a medical intuitive in looking and viewing people's life experiences, people's trauma events, like what happened at this point in their life and what came out of that for them and what decisions they made in their own life, conscious or unconscious, that led them to whatever experience they're having at the moment. It's always fascinating, and everyone's life story is so different than everyone else's.
Well,
we really are unique.
That's why I think, you know, you address this on the blog, because that's what I had picked up, the roots of trauma, and knowing that those they manifest in different ways for different people, different body parts, different actions around you. And getting into that, though, as an intuitive, sometimes it's like the med student who then manifests every single possible disease under the sun because they're reading about them. Okay, when you're exposed to all these people, sometimes you're going to pick up their symptoms.
Well, you know, here's the thing about that. energetically, we are kind of like, you know, if you looked at us energetically with our auras and everything, we can definitely get enmeshed with other people's auras for sure. Mm-hmm. And we can start exhibiting, you know, symptoms and things like that. However, everything starts on the energetic level before it manifests. So we have skills and abilities and resources to shift our own energies. If you practice meditation every day, if you're a meditator and you have skills to release energy, and there's a guided meditation on my website about that, releasing energy. People don't realize that you have to let go of things. So in your meditation practice, you can clean out stuff. You can release a lot. You know, people heal. There are so many millions of stories of, I don't know about millions, but there certainly are recorded stories of people healing just by using their own visualization. I healed myself of a tumor when I was in my 20s, early 30s actually, using Deepak Chopra's visualization techniques. Never came back. It was an interesting experience that showed me how fluid this experience is, how much we can impact our own experience, our physical bodies. So, you know, I have a little bit of a difference. You know, I feel that a lot of this comes from our own belief systems, what we believe, what we were told to believe. You know, it's very multi-layered. I guess I'm having trouble explaining it, Wendy, but we do have power. We do
Let me throw something back at you, because I agree. Yeah. What I wanted to do is that when you are not familiar with these things and that you get blindsided, by some of the incredible things that are all around us all the time. And when you are super wide open going in, then it isn't always registering that you are picking up on people's energies or the energy of the space, or like I'm talking about the register. It took me a while to figure out what was going on. And then it was a certain type of personality who would shut down the mechanics ASAP, or they would have, you know, they would shut their cell phones down. They would drain batteries, things like that. They were doing, they thought it was somebody else and somebody else had done that. So I brought that up because you are addressing those things, and you do that when you say ground yourself, and they're not going to impact you the same way because you are so solid in your presence and your skill set. You know what you're doing. But when you're teaching others and they first get into this, again, the medical student doesn't manifest all of those things. They just go through the drama of potentially having them.
Well, you know, it's not uncommon, and particularly nurses. I got to tell you, nurses have a lot of fear about that. They see this every day. So in their energy, there is often, not always, a good amount of fear about, you know, diseases and physical imbalances and things like that. And what's so really kind of amazing to me when I teach, watching students go through the program, their energy shifts so dramatically, really from Module 1 to Module 4, and if they go on to Module 8 and then beyond, they are not the same people that walk through the door when they come into class for the first time, because they are learning how to clean, modulate, ground, protect, shift. they're learning how to work with their own energy. And that changes your energy, right? So you're not at the effect of everything walking through life. You're not bombarded. And the thing that sensitive people, and this might be what you're talking about, everyone feels this, but sensitive people even more so, and that is they often feel bombarded by what they encounter. You know, like boom, 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 they're just being hit by everything. And clairsentients, people who feel either emotionally, physically, or both the energies of others, really do have an issue with that. And learning how to ground and protect your energy is so important. You have to do that. It's called energy hygiene. That's what I call it. And I would recommend anyone who feels that they're kind of, you know, fragile in that area or sensitive, overly sensitive in that area, to please, please learn how to ground and protect your energy first off.
Well, and part of the...
That you, you'll find that your energy shifts over time the more you practice that.
I was going to say, too, if you're around somebody, like I have dealt with somebody who's losing significant others, all right, and that's going to throw you for a whammy, too, because that's part of your core essence energy. That's like a set point that's all of a sudden shifting and changing, and you might be at that time a little bit more influenced by things that normally would not affect you because you're...
Well, yeah, you nailed it. I'll tell you what that is, Wendy. It's emotions. We're emotional. Humans are emotional creatures. And we are very ruled by emotions. So when our emotions are out of balance, everything else is out of balance, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Now, that doesn't mean we're non-emotional. It just means we need techniques and skills to balance our emotional state so we can experience our emotions in a healthy way, right? So there's a lot of ways to do that. Energy is one way to do that. But certainly, you know, understanding your emotions, accepting your emotions, and feeling them fully is very important. And not allowing yourself to feel bombarded or plowed under, you know, devastated. You know, all of those things happen. Yeah. We have to respect that.
And see, that's the frustrating part, because I know people who work as healers, work as therapists, work as people who are animal communicators, and then they have a crisis. And there's something really shocked them to the core of this. You know, this is a roller coaster. We go up, we go down, we go loop-de-loop, we go around, all these things constantly happening. And it's going to be the challenge of, all right, I feel this. I don't like that I'm feeling this. It frustrates me, but I've got to feel it. And then where do I go from there to rebound? And that's basically what I'm also trying to throw in, because I've only got you for a few minutes and we're only listening for a few minutes. We can't take the course, but I want people to get a good idea of what it's going to be like when they do take your course, because it will be helpful.
Yeah.
Make
yeah.
sense?
Trauma is a part of the human experience. We all experience traumas. Some of us, you know, feel like we've never had one, but even small things can be trauma events for us when we're children. Certainly when we lose loved ones and all that, we have what's trauma, and it can leave emotional PTSD, right? That's what trauma-based.
Yes.
So we have to be very mindful of that. So what people learn in the program is two things. One is how to view the body's systems so that we can look for imbalances that are based in emotional, physical, mental, and spiritual traumas. And we also look for incidents and events from people's lives where experiences where trauma occurred. And very often, what we're looking for is the roots of a present imbalance. So if there's a physical imbalance, we're going to look for where this thing started. And it could be in childhood. It could be from the womb. It could be from past lives. It could be from yesterday, right? So we want to see that and get that information, because what that gives the client or the patient is permission to release this issue for themselves in the best way they can. And that is hugely valuable for patients and clients and for ourselves. So that, in a very, very small nutshell, is the essence of medical intuition and what people learn in the program.
Okay. And the thing I was looking at the time you were speaking, the page I had up was the one on trauma, and that's on your website. So for anybody listening. But the other thing, if you're listening too, you heard the value of getting information in a short, compact way that's general. If you want a personalized reading, then Wendy also does these medical intuitive and clairvoyant readings. And those are available on her website too. But that's why I wanted to just kind of address a few things that might be more relevant to people who are listening at this moment. That here's where you can address some of these a little bit more in depth if you're interested. Because right now, going back to the overview of the things in our society are unsettling and causing anxiety and creating a lots of upheaval. And, you know, these kinds of things we need to address on a personal level to remind us that I'm still in charge. I still have power in this moment over where I want my emotions to go. And you're offering tools and support for people right now that are super, super, I think, important.
Yeah, thank you. And absolutely, that's the case. You know, our first job is to modulate and work with our own energy. That is our first job before we work with anyone else's. And that is absolutely what I teach. And there's that information on the website as well. And I would encourage everyone to begin a meditation practice if you don't have one now and start to learn these tools about how to balance your own energy. That's where we have to start. Because if we're unbalanced and at the effect of everything going on in the world, we're not going to be able to do much for ourselves or for anyone else.
There were some books on your website. And I wanted to, if there's one you would steer people to immediately. I know you like Carolyn Mace. Just in terms of getting ready and preparing and doing a little bit more homework off the bat. I love the fact that you have J. Allen Boone's book, Kinship with All Life. That is absolutely my number one.
Well, I do teach animal communication as well, and that's such a great book. I read that a long time ago. The book, if people are interested in the idea of medical intuition or visualization for self-healing, which is really valuable for people right now, the book that I usually recommend people start with is Quantum Healing by Deepak Chopra. Now, he wrote this a long time ago in the late 80s, early 90s, and it was an absolute primer in how to use visualization skills. That's the basis of clairvoyance is visualization. For your own self-healing. And that's how I used it for my own self to work with that little tumor that went away, almost went away. And that's how people can start learning self-healing techniques using visualization.
Okay. There are some classics on your page. Oversoul 7. That's excellent. Mm-hmm. Illusions, Richard Bach. There's so many, if you're listening, thepracticalpath.com, the book section, and then the ones that Wendy's mentioned right now to get you started. But there's... when you get your mindset in a way that you feel in sync, then you're open and more receptive to all sorts of ideas. And that's what happens with this, is you draw information that you need, and the universe starts giving you the right, incentive and inspiration. And don't get caught up on the right, but the one that works best for you. There's no right or wrong.
That's really true. Thank you for making that distinction. There are so many wonderful modalities out there. There are so many wonderful teachers, wonderful healers, and there's a lot of resources. So I would say if anyone's interested in this, please just start your research and have fun with it.
Okay, so next project, are you doing appearances? Are you doing any traveling?
You know, I just spoke at the IONS conference in Oakland. I was so privileged to do that. It was so much fun to be in a rooms full of scientists and researchers who are studying these phenomenons of intuition and what this means. It was just wonderful. I am teaching, starting my teaching programs in September, and I teach right now in San Diego and Los Angeles, and I am going to start online programs as well. People who live outside of the Southern California area or can't travel. So look on the website for that. Please, everyone, sign up for my newsletter, and you'll get monthly information as well as blogs and articles and information on what's coming up. And that's what I would recommend.
Okay. And then if you have a favorite song.
A favorite song.
One that you listen
to. Oh, you put me on the spot. You know, like, I like anything that makes people feel uplifted, to be totally honest. So, you know, put on music that makes you feel uplifted because it works on every chakra.
Okay.
Particularly your heart chakra and your upper chakras. Yeah.
Okay. You know, I would just say, you know, be happy. You know, the song Happy.
That's a great song.
Okay.
Don't worry, be happy.
Yes. So, if you're listening, we'll leave you on a happy note. You can check out The Practical Path with Wendy Coulter, and you can sign up for the newsletter. You could get a reading if you would like. But the part of it is you have the power to shift your energy. And that's what you're here to be able to do effectively and efficiently. So if you need a little help, Wendy can help you. If you're already doing just fine, then share your information with somebody else who might be able to use an uplift, because there's a lot of that going around right now. People are kind of going, frustrated, maybe not getting things that they want their way. And we've had these storms roll through. So there's a lot of after effect of that. But thank you for listening. And you know what's best for you. Trust your gut. Till next time, stay curious. There's always something new happening out there. Thanks for listening. Check out Wendy's Coffee House on the Blogspot. See ya.